Good morning. Welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. I'm sipping on my coffee, butternut crunch, same as the last one. I buy these little packets, and it makes about enough for 2 days, that, you know, a quarter of a cup. It's about a half a cup total in the bag, so I make a quarter cup to make a couple cups of coffee. So I'm going to open with Benedictus, the Song of Zechariah, which is the standard canticle said before the Apostles' Creed in the 2019 BCP. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, should be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins and the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So we are in the middle of page 54 of the Catechism. We're in the Resurrection of the Body section, question 115, the lighthearted question, why will you die? 115, why will you die? Answer, because sin and death now corrupt this world. My body will degenerate and die. But by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord, and I will rise bodily from death when Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. Question 115. Why will you die? The presupposition is that you will die. We will. It's the 100% chance of dying. Everybody dies. Because sin and death now corrupt this world, my body will degenerate and die. But by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord, and I will rise bodily from death when Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. Okay, let's go through the scriptural references. Genesis 2:15-17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Next is Genesis 3:22-24. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and death, Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man at the east of the garden. He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Next is Psalm 82, verse 7. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. Next is Ecclesiastes 2:16. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been forgotten, how the wise dies just like the fool. The next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, and not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose nothing of all that he gives me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." In the background, you are hearing a heavy downpour, and I think maybe some thunder, if you're wondering what that noise is. Next scriptural reading is from the book of the letter to the book to Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." And then the final scriptural reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 to 28. "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is exempted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just like that, the rainstorm is over. Question 115. Why will you die? Because sin and death now corrupt this world. My body will degenerate and die. But by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord, and I will rise bodily from death when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. So, obviously we start with the problems in the garden, to put it mildly. We're kicked out of the garden. "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." And the question, of course, comes up: Why didn't they immediately drop dead? There's plenty of theological discussion. I think for a God who lives forever, if you're going to die someday, you're already dead. You know, it's just a question of time. Today or 50 years or 1,000 years is you're going to die. To a God who is life from eternity past to eternity future, who is the great I Am, to have any endpoint is to say you will surely die. So Tertullian of Carthage, and this is actually taken from Against Marcion. So Marcion promulgated this idea that the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. You can Google Marcion if you'd like, but that's the basic summary. He tried to create this dichotomy, this separation of the God in the Old Testament is not the God we see in Christ. And so here's Tertullian arguing against Marcion using this particular passage, which is arguing essentially of the character of God being unchanged from the Old Testament to the New Testament, which is hugely important. So Tertullian, for it was a most benignant act of his, benignant meaning noble and benevolent, of his, thus to point out the issues of transgression, lest ignorance of the danger should encourage a neglect of obedience. Now, since it was given as a reason previous to the imposition of the law, it also amounted to a motive for subsequently observing it, that a penalty was annexed to its transgression, a penalty indeed, which he who proposed it was still unwilling that it should be incurred. Learn then the goodness of our God amidst these things and up to this point. Learn it from his excellent works, from his kindly blessings, from his indulgent bounties, from his gracious providences, from his laws and warnings, so good and merciful. Here ends the reading. So on Genesis 3, the exodus from the garden got kicked out, and something I had never observed before, which is, therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So the ground from which he was taken was not Eden. I think I kind of knew that, but this sort of reinforces this concept of Eden was distinct from the ground from which Adam was taken and made, and therefore Eve drawn out of Adam. So this idea of death has entered here, right? The knowledge of good and evil, death has entered, and we are kicked out of the garden, which is a merciful act, so that we don't reach out and live in our perpetual state of brokenness, right? So, Augustine of Hippo. And then, lest Adam stretch forth his hand to the tree of life and live forever, God dismissed him from paradise. It is well put, he dismissed, and not he excluded, so that he might seem to be drawn down by the weight of his own sins to a place that suits him. A bad man generally experiences then when he A bad man generally experiences this when he begins to live among good men, if he is unwilling to change for the better. He is driven from the company of good men by the weight of his bad habit, and they do not exclude him against his will, but dismiss him in accordance with his will. Here ends the reading. We are kicked out of the garden because we're no longer that which is suited for the garden. We are dying creatures. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Adam. So, let's move to John. I've got John Chrysostom has an entire homily on this section that I was able to find. So, Jesus being the bread of life. And I'm not going to do the whole homily, I promise. So I'm going to pick it up in the middle of the homily. I don't think it sounds too disjointed. So here we go. Do ye anger me by your disbelief? Nay, you provoke my Father. For this is the will of him that sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Here he shows that he needs not their service, that he came not for his own advantage, but for their salvation, and not to get honor from them, which indeed he declared in a former address, saying, I receive not honor from men. Again, these things I say that you may be saved. Since he everywhere labors to persuade them that he came to be their salvation, and he says that he obtains honor to the Father in order, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Since he everywhere labors to persuade them that he came for their salvation. And he says that he obtains honor to the Father in order that he may be suspended, may not be suspected by them. And it is for this reason he thus speaks. He has more clearly revealed by what follows. For he says, he that seeks his own will seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory, capital, that sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And this is the will of the Father, that everyone which sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Why does he continually dwell on the resurrection? It is that men may not judge of God's providence by present things alone, that if they enjoy not results here, they become not in that account desponding, but wait for the things that are to come, and that they may not, because their sins are not punished in the present, despise him, but look for another life. Now those men gained nothing, but let us take pains to gain by having the resurrection continually sounded in our ears. And if we desire to be grasping or to steal or to do any wrong thing, let us straightway take it into the thoughts that day. Let us picture ourselves at the judgment seat, for such reflections will check the evil impulse more strongly than any bit. Let us continually say to others and to ourselves, there is a resurrection and a fearful tribunal awaits us. Here ends the reading. Obviously, there's quite a bit more. We are drawn to think of the resurrection and the judgment that comes in sober reflection on the nature of ourselves, which is that we are finite, and we are prone to sinfulness in all ways, in many ways, in an infinite number of ways almost, because we are separated from the Godhead because of sin and death. And that's why we will die. And remembering that we will die draws us to repentance. Like, you know, that I think there's, you know, the many people who have had near-death experiences say their whole life flashes before their eyes. And some people are known to have severely changed their ways after such an event because it makes death much closer. It brings us near to that demise that as moderns, especially, we try to push off. We imagine medicine and all sorts of things will save us. Ancient societies and modern current times in places such as Papua New Guinea or other such places that are far from modern medicine, death is quite close. It's easy to die. We sort of antisept decide, is that the right way to use it? We sort of anesthetize, there we go. We anesthetize ourselves to the thoughts of death. And here, St. Chrysostom is calling us to think upon that, to consider the fact that we will die. It is a sure thing, a very, very sure thing. So let's move on to, so Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So here's Ambrose of Milan. Although through one man's death, through one man's sin, let me start that. Although through one man's sin, death has passed to all men, him who we do not refuse to acknowledge as the father of the human race, we refuse to acknowledge is also the author of death. In Adam I fell. In Adam I was cast out of paradise. In Adam I died. How shall God call me back except he find me in Adam? For just as in Adam I am guilty of sin and owe a debt to death, so in Christ I am justified. Here ends the reading. As the answer says, but by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord, and I will rise bodily from death, when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, by the will of God. So it's not by my own will, but by the will of the Father, by the will of God. And then Corinthians, which is a really long section, and yet most scripture is all important. This is that great sort of Paul saying, okay, so if it's true, there's no resurrection, right? And he takes us down a path to show just how futile, without resurrection, all of it is meaningless. The resurrection is the culmination of all of it. You know, if Christ is not raised, we are of all people most to be pitied. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. To keep the resurrection in our minds and to keep that hope of everlasting life is to put this world in its proper perspective, which is, it's the cross that we were going through. You know, I think of Amazing Grace, when we have been there 10,000 years, we'll barely just begun. There's a point at which we will look back at this as if it was a blip, a tiny thing. You know, Paul later on says it is, I can't remember. I had a piece of it. Seniors moment. I know I'm only 51, but every now and then there's definitely times where I think my memory is challenging me. Too much stuff. And some useless stuff jammed up in my brain. We are to look ahead to the resurrection. We are called to remember that we were but flesh and we will die, and that there is a judgment on the other side. Those of us in Christ we raise to new life, but there will still be a review of our life. This should give us pause. This should give us pause. So, question 115. Why will you die? Because sin and death now corrupt this world, my body will degenerate and die. But by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord, and I will rise bodily from death when Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. But God. But by the will of God, my soul will be with the Lord. I want to thank you for listening. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review me. I could use some reviews. Do not have many reviews. I'm not sure I have any. I think I have one. So if you'd be so kind as to leave a review for me, I would be most appreciative. So we'll close it with a collect for guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.